Blog Talk Radio.
Melissa?
Yes. Timothy?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just want to say I am truly grateful to have you on the show today, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. After scanning through the book, just it amazed me, and I said, well, where has she been all this time? Because I've done I've done quite a few shows on this. And not only that, I've done panels in New York and out in L.A. I've done panels on this. And I said,
really?
Yes. And I said, she would have been so good for my panel discussions that I had. And the mental health, the people from the Mental Health Association came out, and the FDA. I did so much on this because I'm such an advocate for this. So,
oh, my gosh.
I thank you so much for getting this, thinking of the what came to your mind to get this book and to create it and then put it out. I appreciate it 100%. And so I the patient went out and we got, I think, like 20 copies of this book. Because I'm telling you, and this is, and I've had a lot of authors on the show, but it's just it's just certain books that just stick to me, like something like the Oprah's Book Club, or it's like the Timothy's Book Club, because it's certain books that stick to me, and I really like this book a lot. But for my listeners that aren't familiar with it, just tell us, just tell them a little bit about, you know, the book and, you know.
Yeah. So I think to tell you a little bit about the book, you know, it's really funny because I started it thinking that I was going to be writing about what it was like having a special needs child and being a parent. And what happened, so what the book ended up being about was my sort of shocking and unintentional dependence upon benzodiazepines. And for me specifically, it was something called Ativan, generic lorazepam, which was prescribed to me by a primary care physician for really, really severe debilitating insomnia that he said, you know, I would have a psychotic break if I didn't get some sleep. And my doctor told me that the drugs were safe, maybe about as addictive as coffee, and that we were going to work on what was, you know, what was causing the insomnia, but these pills would help me sleep in the meantime. And then what I found was that after a year of taking them nightly as prescribed, never taking more, you know, never changing my dosage at all, I was so severely dependent physically upon them that I actually was having active drug withdrawals while I was on a very high dose, which is, to me, I don't know if there are very many drugs that you can have such severe withdrawals while taking the drugs. And then to get off of them was, you know, akin to, from what I've heard from many addictionologists now, akin to going off of heroin in terms of the severity of withdrawals, but it took me a year and a half of that kind of rigorous. And the reason I wrote the book, Timothy, not only just to kind of stitch myself back into my life using art, you know, and to try to transform it, but because I found out there were so many people like me that were just following their doctor's orders and all of a sudden were having all kinds of bizarre neurological or, you know, muscular or gastrointestinal disorders that actually are a result of the dysregulation in the brain that are caused by the drugs. So that's kind of my overarching summary of the book and kind of how I got what I pulled into myself to be able to get through that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. what was the process like creating this book, and why did you decide to make it into a book, your whole experience?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. I ask myself that all the time. Like, universe, do I really need to write this book? And for me, because there were so many people that were writing to me saying, oh my gosh, please don't stop talking about this. People don't know this. My brother died. My sister committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I can try to tackle this systemic problem in a number of ways. You know, I can try to maybe take the doctor that prescribed me to, get him into a malpractice suit. But I thought, this is a systemic problem. We have all of these, drugs that are prescribed by doctors, and we don't really get to know what they do long term until people start taking them. And I thought, the best way I think I can get this information out there that can perhaps create some kind of systemic change and create awareness is to write something beautiful and meaningful and intimate and bring people along with in the experience with me, whether or not they've had any experience with, doctor prescribed, dependency or any kind of, psychopharmacological drugs. I wanted it to be a good story because I wanted to affect change.
Absolutely. Yeah. Going through this experience, what type of impact did it have on you? You know, with your children and your health and your whole family. What was that impact like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when my kids were younger, obviously, I was so physically impacted. I could barely walk a block. I couldn't remember anything. I was constantly falling over. And, in some ways it's lucky that the kids were so young because they don't really remember. And I remember saying, okay, my entire focus is to structure my life in such a way that they don't experience the impact. But what I would say is that, I don't remember a ton of when they were during those 2 years, basically. It was about 2.5 years because it affects your memory. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest impact was really to my health. So my nervous system will probably never be the same. Like it's very, it can get overwhelmed pretty easily. So I have to just take really, really good care of myself, which is a good lesson for anyone, but there's really instant feedback if I get overwhelmed or, whether it's physically or just any kind of, there's sort of a hypersensitivity that comes out of it that I have to be cautious with. Yeah.
Did you have, going through this whole process, did you have any type of a support system, or you went through this on your own?
Well, this is one thing I want to say, that I feel so lucky, and it's part of why I wanted to write the book, because I think very few people have the kind of support system that I had. I will not say, so my primary relationship with my husband at the time was not supportive. However, I had some friends that were very much like a second family. And because they had just the strongest, most beautiful hearts I've ever encountered in the world, they opened up their home to me. I worked with a therapist who was also, interestingly, a Tibetan Lama. And he said to me, you're going to have to create your own kind of withdrawal, rehab, because the American healthcare system is not set up for this kind of the kind of withdrawal you're going to go through. So I moved into these friends of mine house and went through 7 months of active withdrawals in their house with them, their love and support. He was a psychiatrist, so I knew I would have, you know, an MD there should anything happen. And then just a few select friends, and that was it. I had to kind of piecemeal it. You know, there is not a structure in this culture yet to be able to help people who are suffering from benzodiazepine dependence or withdrawal. We just don't even know how to handle it.
What was, if I may ask, what was that experience like going through those withdrawals? Just a little bit of experience. How was that effect on you? How was it?
Well, it was wild. I could not have imagined anything like it in my life if I had not gone through it. When I was tapering, I would drop my dose by 1/10, and then I would just hold at that dose. And about 2 days after I dropped my dose, I would start feeling like I was on fire from the inside. I called it the fire ants. My skin would be hypersensitive. I couldn't look at the light. My eyes would shiver in their sockets, so I couldn't read. I couldn't watch television. Any sound was too much. I would go through periods where I would get these massive, I can't even say like a cramp. It would feel like a Rottweiler had attacked me in my stomach or my neck, and I would fall down, and I would just have this muscular contraction that was so intense I could barely breathe. I would have seizures. I would, vomiting. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had the flu all the time. It was just relentless. It was relentless. I call it the Olympics of drug withdrawals because it required such stamina and such focus to just get through the day.
Yeah, I totally can relate, and I totally understand.
Yeah.
I do, and I'm gonna share my experience very quickly and straight to the point. I had a big surgery maybe back in 2012. And I got in the hospital, I got addicted to morphine.
Oh, God.
And that was the worst medication. That was one of the worst. That was the worst medication to ever withdraw, because they couldn't give, like, if a person like is on heroin, it's different. But they told me it's worse to withdraw morphine than it is heroin. You know, heroin quicker. It's hard to still help you. So I let me tell you something. It took me almost a little over a year to withdraw it.
Oh my gosh!
And it decreased my appetite. I was only eating a sandwich and maybe either soda or something for the entire day, and that was it. That's how bad it decreased my appetite. I totally understand. There needs to be a change in this particular thing, because it's serious. So some people don't make it. I'm telling you, some don't make it.
Oh yeah.
And it's bad. So this is why I said I have to have it, because I totally can relate, and I respect you so much for this book. It's going to open up so many people's eyes to this, to what's going on, because this, I mean, you think because your primary care or your psychiatrist, they prescribe you this, or even if, like in my situation, if you're in the hospital, you think it's helping get you better, but actually it's not. It only makes things worse. It only covers, it's like sclerosis, it's only like something like a patch. Like it's not, you hurt something, you patch it up. That's all it is. So the wear and tear, that patch starts to move, I do not recommend it at all. But this book, I love it. I love it, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
If I may ask now, how are you doing now? How are you helping? How are you helping advocate for, you know, other individuals? I mean, of course, this book is truly, you know, a part of it, but
So, you know, I've connected with a number of the benzodiazepine coalitions, and there's Alliance for Benzo Best Practices. I think for me, getting this book out was my first step towards advocacy, because I think education and awareness is absolutely key.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I feel like this will be kind of a launching pad towards that, and then we'll see kind of what comes out of it, because it's I don't want to just preach to the choir. I want people to know that have not even thought about it, or, you know, that have like a Xanax prescription in their medicine cabinet and don't think that it could cause them any kind of, you know, any kind of harm. So I think what I will continue to speak about this. I'm on the Simon & Schuster Speakers Bureau, and that will be one of my topics, and general wellness, and, you know, and just supporting people that are going through it and trying to figure out how to do it safely and to do it in a way that really can get them back to health.
Absolutely.
We need
change. And it's
absolutely.
I remember when I was interning at a behavioral health clinic, I would just see how people who were on the same medication that you were on, how they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to use the term too far gone, but they were in a place where as someone said, it's a point of no return. Like they were too far out, you know what I'm saying? And to actually get them back, it's gonna take so much, so much treatment, and so much, you know, that they're not, that the state or federal government is not gonna fund to get it. And that's also an issue. Like we take this for so long, and it takes. This when they say the mind is a very powerful thing, that is so true. That is 100% true. Your mind can do make you think and make you do some things that you don't even think that you can do. So, you know, we need to kind of get, you know, some type of hold on to, you know, to these medications and things, because they're worse than recreational drugs, like the registered drugs. They're worse.
Oh, yeah. one of the descriptions that I have in my book is, I said, you know, we've made the atomic bomb with these drugs, in the sense of like what they do in the brain, and we do not have an awareness long term of how profoundly they can affect people, to the point where people lose their lives. I mean, they lose their body, you know, their brain ceases its abilities to function.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their jobs, their families, you know, their joy. And we are turning a blind eye to that.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think, and you're absolutely right that for me, because they're so severe, it is true. People can very, very quickly get to the point of no return, where they feel so physically impacted and so cognitively impacted, they have no idea how to get back to health.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
it's terrifying.
I wanted to, when I did panel on prescription drugs, the thing that when I had the Mental Health Association in front of me and a group of the other panelists, the thing that stuck out to me that made me upset with them is the fact that they were prescribing the same medication to 5-year-olds. And I said to myself, it's a 5-year-old. Like, okay, let's give them some chance to a little older. because they're still growing. They still do kid things. So they're five. So, you know, you always get, sometimes we say this, but they're, sometimes they're kids. They're kids. But
right.
when you start to prescribe them medications of this level, it's like, what are we doing to the kids?
Oh, my gosh.
A 4 or 5-year-old shouldn't be taking this. But, you know, they have it. Oh, we'll just do a low dosage, you know. But no, but what are we doing to them at this
oh,
age?
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
they're still,
it's just horrific.
They're still growing. I mean, they're still babies. In my opinion, they're still babies. I mean, they're not, you know, infant babies, but they're babies. The impact that it will have on an adult, you see the impact that it had on yourself and other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the impact it has on a child of that age, a person of that age. I'm like, I don't know, but it's crazy.
Well, and they didn't do any kind of test on kids of that age. So to me, that's an issue of like severe medical ethics.
Absolutely.
You know, because we do not have any, we don't even understand what it does to an adult brain long term,
mm-hmm.
much
mm-hmm.
less a child whose frontal lobe is not fully formed and whose brain is still growing. And we know that we do know that it makes structural changes, but we don't know what that looks like in a child. So to go ahead and move in that direction without any kind of testing is an ethical issue that I think needs to be addressed. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to also discuss the that. This book, I believe, can change a whole lot of things and open people's minds up to how to help themselves. And another thing is that with a lot of people in the mental health field does not do is that so if I come into legal office and I said I'm going through this and that, the first thing that they do is they grab their prescription pad. And while you're talking to them, let's say, oh, let's give them Paxil. Let's give them Lorazepam. Let's give them. Instead of listening to me and let's just talk. Let's see. Let's pinpoint the problem. Let's see where the problem is coming from. And if we find out what the problem is, maybe when we solve the problem and we pinpoint and, you know, then maybe we can clear it out instead of just grabbing a pen and you're in your pad and writing a prescription.
Exactly.
I know it's about the mighty dollar, you know, and it's a $1 billion industry for both medical and drug companies. But I mean, listen, you have a high rate of suicide. Last month was Mental Health Awareness Month. The suicide rate was high, and not just by regular people. We're talking celebrities killed themselves, jumping off of bridges, drug overdoses.
Oh, yeah.
Very high than ever. You understand what I'm saying? So what are we doing? And these are Biden, and excuse me, my French. We have so many half-assed mental health professionals that are out there now that they're not helping at all. So now I see. So I don't want to say I don't want anybody to do anything to themselves. But now we see why we have people doing harm to themselves. Don't want to seek treatment because they're being judged, because they're not being listened to. I mean, it's sad. So I really encourage your book. And my listeners are listening. I really encourage them to read this book. And I guarantee you they'll get something out of it to where they can go the straight path and get the help that they need, or self help. Self help is always good as well. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Both, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, our sort of culture around wellness has veered so strongly into the take a pill culture, and we're now seeing the ramifications of it, you know, with so much, you know, just tremendous degradation of people's mental and emotional health because of the medication and the long-term effects. And so You know, my hope is that this is one of many, many things that start moving the dial a little bit towards a more holistic version of mental and emotional and, you know, health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got a long way to go.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. Yes, yeah. We do. Yes, we do. So, Melissa, I want to definitely keep in touch with you because there are so many things that I'm going to project somebody's doing and relate to this. So I'm definitely going
to love to
check out very, 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 very soon. And I know you have your own schedule, you know, but definitely if you're available, please. And if you're ever here in the New York area, you know, you're doing the event, please invite my show. We'll definitely be out to support, you know, 100%.
Oh, I absolutely will.
You know. But
that sounds great. Thank you, Timothy.
No problem. But I want you to, if you want to give out any your websites or any social media so my listeners can find out more information about what you're doing. And, of course, we're definitely going to be giving copies out of the book throughout the show in support of this wonderful cause, that, you know, wonderful topic that we're definitely going to be giving out copies of your book, Melissa, throughout the show. But,
great. Great, great.
But give out your social medias, if that's okay, you know, your website.
Yeah. So my website is melissaabond.com. There's an A in there. And then my Instagram handle is Melissa B, as in Bond, Melissa B, author. That's my Instagram handle.
Okay. I'll definitely follow you on Instagram. I'll send you a message on there, let you know that, you know, I found you. I'm going to also post a copy of the book on the Instagram and on the show Instagram to, you know, and on also our Facebook. Melissa, I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much.
For taking time out to come on the show. We appreciate you. You're also a friend to the show now, so we're definitely going to have you back on. I already know that.
great. I would love it.
So thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Congratulations on your journey and, you know, for making it through. And, you know, may God continue to bless you and keep you moving forward with everything, okay?
Thank you. You as well. And it's just been an honor. Just a delight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you to Melissa Abon. Make sure you guys support her book, Blood Orange Night. It's a fantastic book that you guys got to go out and get. Okay, get the auto version. When you go out to wherever books are sold, please go out and get a copy of this book. It's a fantastic book. It's focused on different issues with the drugs, and it's a phenomenal book. Make sure you guys go out and get this copy of this book. I'm going to jump into a track by Miss Anita Baker. She's on tour, I believe it's several dates. So make sure you guys check her. I believe her, so there's no, she's only on Twitter, but make sure you check your local listings for the time in your area where she's going to be coming. She's on tour. We have the privilege to go out and see her out in Vegas, but check your local listings. We'll jump into the chat by Miss Anita Baker, and I'll be right back.
When I think about how much I love Oh Lord, Jesse made another one.
Huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne. Yeah. I just signed a deal, I'm on. Yeah, yeah. I go where I want, good. Play if you want, it's do it. I'm a young CEO, sure. Yeah. The first nigga play, I'ma body a nigga. I just check my balance, I probably pull up to your hood and come buy me a nigga.
No cap.
You know that your hoe told you that nigga crazy. Don't think that she lied to you, nigga.
Bitch.
Get caught with your hoe when I'm popping them both. Now they hot just like Bobby and Whitney. Say I'm the GOAT, act like I don't know. But fuck it, I'm obviously winning. Don't make me go hit the bank. Take out 100 to show you our pockets is different. I'm out with your bitch and I only want knowledge. She got a little mileage, I'm chillin'. You disrespect me and I beat your ass up all in front of your partners and children. I'm the type to let niggas think that I'm broke until I pop out with a million.
Pop.
And take 20K and put that on your head and make one of your partners come kill you.
Yeah.
Stay fucking with me, then he gotta grow up. Cause this nigga gotta be kidding.
Kid.
This shit can't fit in my pocket. I got it. Like I hit the lottery, nigga.
Thank you so much for listening to tuning in today. This is the Timothy Hot Show. I appreciate you all for listening to tuning in today. I have a wonderful guest, Miss Alyssa Avon, a wonderful author. Humanitarian advocate for coming on the show. She's truly one of a kind. Make sure you guys support her book, Blood on Tonight, which is available now. Shout out to the callers for calling in who received a copy of the book. Also, email timothyhoshua@gmail.com for your free copy of the book. Just put Blood on Tonight in the subject line, and we'll definitely get a copy out to you. And also, you can also do an audio version, which is, I believe, is cheaper. Or several ways to support this book. It's a great book, and we appreciate Ms. Melissa for coming on the show. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in today. For more information on today's show, timothyhoshua@gmail.com for more information on today's episode. Make sure you, if you missed the show, make sure you check it out on the available podcast sites, our website, timothyhoshua.com, for more information. And we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for listening to me. I'm going to leave you with this. Where you got to be. WC, I play strong. Peace.
Go ahead, release your fears. My, oh my.
gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day, yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day, yeah, yeah.
I get my weed from California.